Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, the Bible talks about how there's this process that has to happen at the end, before Jesus comes back. And a big part of that is His bride being ready. And what we have to understand is that's us. That's all of us as a church. And, I might cry. So if I do, bear with me. We have to learn to let go of things. And that's not just like letting go of things that are like, you know, important to you. But we have to learn to step out. To move outside the comfort zone, outside of the box that you're used to all the time, to step outside of that and into something that says, you know, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care what I see around me. I don't care what happens with anything as long as I'm focused on you. Because that's the thing, is He's preparing the church. He's trying to prepare us for something, and He's pouring things in, and He really is. I know that there's so many times, even up here, I feel like, God, you've already said that. But the truth is that sometimes He's going to continue again. Say it again. Put it out there again. Continue to say it again. Give it to them again. They've still not heard it, so give it to them again. It's still not sat there right, so give it to them again. Say it again. Keep giving it, because it's going to settle, and a seed that's put there is going to begin to shoot forth. So sometimes when you hear us repeating ourselves, it's not us repeating ourselves. It's Him trying to say something to you, something that's not quite gotten through yet, that He wants you to grab hold of, that He wants you to understand, that He wants you to know is there and real. You know, somebody said to me, as a kid, when you grew up, did you really know that God was real? And the truth was, is that my parents really pushed big on, you gotta be able to hear God on your own. Go after Him, read the Word, pray. And when you feel like He's not answering or He's not saying anything, keep listening. And you know, I was blessed in that in a very young age, I was able to do that. And because of that, I saw Him move and do things in my life that, yes, when I was asked as a kid, how do you know He's real? Oh, because I know He's real. Because I've seen Him move mountains in my life. Because I've seen Him take a circumstance that there was no way out and completely turn it around for His good. And that's the thing. Is that we have to be listening, we have to be hearing, and then once you've taken that, you gotta step out. That's so key to seeing the kingdom on earth, to see things of the kingdom happening. And that's the thing, is we'll notice that those things that for so long we've heard people say, oh, but how do you know He's real? There will be no doubt, because the promises that are already placed in the Bible will begin to come to pass. They'll begin to see them here. They'll begin to see healing. They'll begin to see bondages broken, things that they were addicted to, things that they felt they couldn't get out of. They can't get out of it on their own, but you can with the Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to step out. Whew. I don't know. Guys, there's a call to the church. There's a call. Step out. Go. 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 He's wanting us to move. He's wanting us to do things. And when we just stay inside our box, when we worship on Sunday, but forget the whole rest of the week, what are we doing? He wants to move in you. He wants to do things in you. And so it takes stepping out. You know, we sang that first song that we sang today talks about that there's freedom. You have freedom. But sometimes we don't even exercise that freedom. Sometimes we're scared to even take a little hop. We're scared to get out of our comfort zone. But what we don't realize is there's breakthrough in that. There really is. Do you know, I used to think it really doesn't matter. Like if I stay in my bubble and worship, I'm worshiping, you know where my heart is. And it's true, he does. He knows where your heart is. But the truth is there's something that happens when you're able to step out. And you know, sometimes that stepping out starts here. It really does. Because you are in a group of worshipers who love God, who believe the same things that you believe, who are gonna encourage you and uplift you in everything you do. And if we can't step out here, how are we gonna step out there? He wants you to let go. There's a freedom in it. There really is. There's a freedom in allowing yourself to worship. There's something that happens. There's a breakthrough, this release that you just allow into your life when you just let go and say, God, I'm surrendering it all to you. I'm standing here with arms open, ready to receive all that you have for me. Guys, you want to start seeing things happen. He wants to start seeing it too. He wants to start moving and doing these things. He's already moving, but he wants to take us that next step. Those things that we think can't happen, those things that seem impossible, or those were just in the Bible, they're not, they're here. That's the kingdom. That's how the kingdom operates. And he wants it to operate here. But we have to be willing to step out.
I'm not one to come up and talk during the worship, but this is a holy moment. Sitting in the drum cage, this is a holy moment. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is speaking. I feel like we need to respond. Church, we need to respond. We spend day after day after day. We look at the news and we feed ourselves on what's coming with all the bad news. Let's just spend a couple moments, just a couple moments, just feel ourselves. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is holy. Let's consume ourselves with just a few moments. We spent all week listening to people and people at work talk about what's going on, but let's just spend this couple moments. Let's respond to the word. I feel like we need to respond. If we can just stand and we can go back and sing this one more time, if you feel uncomfortable, it's okay. We were meant to worship. If you've never lifted up your hands before, just do a mini lift your hands. If you've never sung out, sing out. If you've never come forward, if you need to come forward just to break the chains and break the spirit of religion, come forward. And just, the Lord wants your heart. The Lord wants to touch you, to touch you. When you get touched, you change forever. You'll never be the same. And the Lord is calling. He just used Rebecca. So he's calling. He's calling. Respond.
So I'm German and I'm pretty laid back. But what Rebecca said is stepping out of the boat. God's been teaching me that, showing me that constantly for months now. And when she was talking about that, worshiping the Lord in freedom, it took, you know, we have the Ark of the Covenant within us. We have Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Father in us. So, and there's a wall between the congregation and the music ministry. And So it brought back, God just showed me, King David had the ark, and he was bringing it back into to Jerusalem. And the first time he did it his way, which is what we're doing right now, our way. And what Rebecca said, you can praise the Lord right where you're at, but sometimes it takes more. And when King David realized he did it wrong, he went back and did it right. He did it God's way. And he took 1, 2, 4, 5, 6 steps, and he couldn't contain himself. He threw off his robe and danced before the Lord. So maybe we need to do that.
So mine's a little bit of a, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people, so I'm going to do this. God gave me a scripture. It says, don't be wary of doing good. Do not be wary of doing good. And that's in Galatians 6:9. And it spoke to me because I've been praying for weeks and weeks about helping other people and letting God use me to move in people's lives. And this week, I had an encounter with a girl at work, and I've been praying for it and praying for it. And on Tuesday, it finally happened. She was in an aisle. I work at Walmart, and part of my job is that we pick groceries for people. And I said, Lord, is it this person? Is it this person? This person? She was in the aisle all by herself, and I knew it was her, but there was a little bit of doubt, so I passed her. And on our little handheld devices that we have, it tells us what we have to pick. It told me to turn around and go back behind her. And I went back behind her, and I was like, okay, Lord, if this is her, please let me hear from you. And she went on, and I picked what I had to pick, and I got behind her, and the next item came up, and it was a thing of baby yogurt. And she's pregnant, and I went up to her, and I asked her, I'm like, hey, God told me to speak to you. He wanted me to tell you that he loves you, and that he loves this baby, and this baby is going to be really important. Someday, this baby is going to speak to the hearts of people that really need to be heard. And she told me that she was having a bad day, that she was having morning sickness, and that I made her day for talking to her about the Lord. And I'm just so grateful for that, because the Lord answered my prayers. And I prayed for her, and I asked her the next day, how are you feeling? She said, so much better. And I knew, again, my prayers were answered. I've been fasting since Tuesday, and people at work would call me crazy. They're like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I said, through all things, Christ can strengthen me through all things. So I've been doing that for him, to bring me to a place closer to God. And right now at this moment, we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the word because of my fasting. And it's all because of him. Not because of me, not because I wanted to do, just God spoke to me, start fasting. And it gave me the opportunity to talk to people today. So thanks.
Please be seated. If you see the way this church is doing things, and seem a little different than your typical church. But we're just having church, guys. Amen. And the good part is that it is Holy Spirit agenda. It isn't our agenda. So as the words come forth, as people share their hearts, the sermon, whatever it may be, the worship, you know, the Holy Spirit changes the way we did it last week. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Glory. We want him to have his way. And sometimes we get so set in tradition that we're afraid to see what it is that God has prepared, that new thing that he wants to take us to. And so we get so locked up and, well, my gosh, the sermon hasn't started yet. There was more than three songs. You know? We get so set in that. And it's like one of these deals, let's just have church and let's let the Holy Spirit lead us in that. So thank you for being here. And I hope you are blessed this day. And I'm going to ask you one thing before I start. If I were to tell you that before you left this building today, before you left here, that any affliction, any disease, any sickness that is upon your body, that before you left this place today, you would be healed from that, would you believe me? And don't answer, just ponder. As I go forth with my sermon, just I want you to think about that. Whatever it is, before you walk out of here, you will be healed.
Hallelujah.
So, of course, with that, my sermon has to do with the healing of our bodies and how we apply the Word of God towards that healing of our bodies. So I want to go first to Proverbs 4 and starting with 20. I think he has it up there already. And it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words and do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. So the words in this book have an answer to all the questions that we could ever ask or every situation that we could ever face, including, as we see in this scripture, the health of our bodies. But if the words are not embedded within us, permeated in our inner being, as the word says, and it says to put them in your heart. And if you notice, when it starts off, it says, my son, pay attention. He really wants us to focus on this thing. It's really focusing what he's saying. He's talking about our health, but there's so much more in that area. And so, but he says, pay attention. And he says to keep them in your heart. So, but if the words are not embedded within us or permeated in our being, then all we have is a book. So you think about it, it would be like sending a soldier to the front lines of a battlefield, and you're giving him a rifle, but you didn't give him any bullets. He's not going to last very long, is he? He's not going to, he might try to hit one guy with the rifle, but it's not going to go much farther than that. So this is what we would be like. You know, we need to know that the words that are in this book are powerful and that it's not just a book, because it can be that. Amen. So I want to go to the next one I want to read is Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. And of course, you're all familiar with this. It's about the armor of God. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And after all that armor, this is what I want to focus on. Of course, he's given us everything we would ever need to fight the battle. And this last part says that he gives us the Word. And to think about this, wouldn't you rather fight the enemy with God's sword than a book? So the Word must be living inside of us. And so when it comes to that time that we declare what 1 Peter 2:24 says, that by his stripes we were healed, it isn't just words. It's a powerful weapon. It's a sword that comes and breaks the power of whatever it is that the enemy has put forth in front of us. And so this message is applying those words so that we can fight the enemy, so that we, and who else has a better, who else has a better authority over your body than yourself? Amen. And so when you give God that place, he can work with you. But you can, it's your choice. You can say yes, you can say no. And of course, we'll see that sometimes it's not as easy as it sounds. We know that sickness was never a part of God's original plan, and neither was dying. So it is his will for us today and made available to his grace that we are blessed with health. The healing of our bodies was part of the atonement, just as forgiveness of sin was. And through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it happened 2,000 years ago. It's up to us by faith to reach out and receive it. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You just believe it. And then you thank God for what he's already done. Amen. So think about this. Somebody gives you a gift card, and it's maybe to a restaurant or to your favorite store. And he gives you this card, and you get it, you put it in your wallet, and as long as you keep it in that wallet, it's just a piece of plastic, right? Not doing you much good to sit in that wallet. But when you take it to that place, when you take it to that restaurant or to that store that it was bought for, now you can redeem it. It's always been there. You just never claimed it. And that's how it is with God's healing. It's there. It is there. But we just can't seem to get into that place to just touch Jesus and get that healing. And so some of us are probably thinking, if I am healed, then why am I suffering pain? And we would all agree that God doesn't lie. So if he says that I was healed 2,000 years ago, then I am. I was healed 2,000 years ago. So what am I missing? What am I missing? Why is it that I may feel this pain? Why is it that I'm still going through what I'm going through? It would be not right that we would have denial. You know, guess what, guys? If the pain is there, the pain is there, right? We're not going to go hide our head in the sand and say, oh, no, it's not there, because we have to crawl to get our head in the sand, you know? And that's a lot of times what we go through. These things are real to our bodies. But the thing about it is they don't belong there. They don't belong in our bodies. If God healed us through Jesus, 2,000 years ago, then those pains and those sicknesses, those ailments that continue to be upon us don't belong there. And so it's our place to find that what we need so that we're not cooperating with that pain. We're not cooperating with that sickness. I want to cooperate with what God did for me. And so, boy, that better? lot of echo. Okay, anyway, a while back, I received healing for my back when I was, I think some of you already know my story. When I was 15, I had a car accident and wound up hurting my back. And so until I was about 34, which was about the time that I got healing for my back, it was hard for me to go to work. Sometimes I wouldn't. It was not a good thing. And so I can testify that God heals. Since that day that I was prayed for, and it was by my daughters and my wife, they just laid their hands on my back, and all they did was say, "Jesus, heal my daddy." And you'd be surprised what can happen when there's love being poured into someone. And it didn't have to be this, you know, recital of all this in the name of Jesus. And it was just a lot of love that came through my two daughters and my wife. And I received that healing. So it's never a set thing as to how we're going to receive it. It's just to know that we will. And at that point, I was just learning about this, but I did get healed. And praise God, since I was 34 years old, I'm 35 now. And I wish. No, I don't. I don't want to go back that way. But since I was 34, I have never suffered back issues. So, but yet, I look at where I'm at with other issues and me, I still have some. So I'm asking God, what about the rest of it? You healed the thing such as a back. What about such and such? You know he heals. I know he heals. And one day, it is my heart's desire that one day every one of us is not going through a sickness and disease. We are not to be there. So whatever it is that I've missed, whatever it is that you've missed, we know that it is his will to make us, to give us health. So, in a while, should I go forward, Steve, or? Let's try that. So in a while, we're going to see some scripture on the healing ministry of Jesus. And the way he was, he spoke to specific issues in each person. He didn't have a 10-step program. He didn't follow that. He sometimes just touched someone. He used spit. He used mud. And sometimes he forgave people's sin, or he would silence demonic influences. But he never just went out there and said, okay, this is how it's done every time. Every person was a specific situation. Every person was special to him, and he dealt with it in that way. So it is for us today. I can't stand here and tell you, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen. But the Holy Spirit can tell you what you need. The Holy Spirit deals with specifics in each one of us. And that's, a lot of times we as ministers of God, we receive words, as we pray with people, we can give them some insight as to what we see, what the Holy Spirit's showing us. But in reality, it's you, it's your body, it's your authority over your own body that will break through those things, because he's going to show you what is it that is keeping you from that. And just as I said, I still have issues in my body, and I'm going, Lord, what do I do? Where do I go? How will I get to where that's not an issue? You heal my back, you can heal every other thing. And I got to be honest with you, I'm learning. I am being taught every day. I am asking every day. And I have to admit that today I am healthier than I was 10 years ago. I used to hang out with doctors a lot more 10 years ago than I do now. And so something is truly happening in within me, within my body, within my spirit. And I'm just going to keep on digging. I'm going to keep on asking. And I hope that maybe even through this message that you find a place to dig and ask and receive what's already been, it's been set off for you. By His grace, that healing was there. And Jesus died on that cross so that you could have it. So a lot of it, the words that Jesus used, even when He was doing, He wasn't a long prayer kind of guy. You know, it was just be gone, stand, walk. I mean, he knew who He was. He knew what that person needed, and He didn't have to sit with them for hours to determine that. He could just see it. And I hope that we're going in that direction, to be able to see when we do pray for someone what it is. Where is the Holy Spirit taking us? What is it that that person needs? He knew who He was, and He used the tools of the kingdom. Everything that He needed for that healing to take place, Jesus used. He knew His authority, He knew His place, and he would. The Word says that He did only what the Father told Him to do. And so He was always right with what He was doing. He was listening to His Father. And of course, how can you go wrong if you do everything your Father tells you, right? So we should also ask the Holy Spirit what our specific need is. And it's when we bring it to the light and we speak it out that God can move. We are to take authority over our body, exercise our faith, and just say thank you. Receive that healing. As simple as it sounds, it can be a battle. Your spirit knows the truth. We just said it. We just saw it. He says we're healed. And your spirit knows that. But your mind says otherwise. So who's in charge? The flesh will demand, right? And like I said a little bit earlier, if that pain is there, You're not going to be walking around like it isn't. So that body is telling you, I'm not comfortable. This hurts or whatever it is that's within you that just continues to afflict you. And so even though your spirit understands the word and understands and receives that which God has told us, but of course our flesh is trying to tell us otherwise. So as we've learned in the past, most of the time for most of us, we do let our flesh take the lead. But we need to let the Spirit take the lead. And we need to continue to just allow that Spirit to speak that truth to you. And to receive it within, tell that body, no, you don't. You don't belong here. You are not a part of it. And it's up to us each day to continue to tell our bodies to conform to God's perfect creation. Amen. Sickness and pain has no right within us. It's not a part of us. It doesn't belong to us. And so as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for our bodies to receive that healing. You know, if you've had, let's just say if you've had arthritis, you know, sometimes our bones get messed up. They get in weird directions. So even if we pray for the healing of those areas, then we also have to pray for the restoration, speak restoration to areas that have been damaged. And God is really about specifics. And that's, as I said earlier, Jesus spoke to specifics in each person. So when you're praying for something, you speak to whatever the ailment is, but you also speak to maybe the effects that those things have had upon you because of the years that you dealt with it. So there's a lot of different ways that you can pray, but the big part of it is, of course, that you don't let it be words, that you really let it, when it comes forth from your mouth and you speak it, that you really believe it. It's not a, well, if it doesn't work, it must be God's will. No, it is God's will. It is God's will. And sometimes we use that as a cop-out. Maybe it's not the right timing. Maybe it's not God's will for me, but it's okay for somebody else. And just know, it is His will. You have been healed. Receive it. Receive it. The mind is the only entry point that the enemy has. And if you let him convince you of a sickness, then you give that sickness a right to be there. So all the enemy needs is a little crack in your faith. Tragedy and sickness is not God's system. The truth of His word is. So once again, if it says in His word that you're healed, if it says in His word that if you do something a certain way and you follow that, that's the truth. Whatever else you hear, whatever it is, if you want to call it a tragedy or some type of a situation that seems like, you know, the storms are drowning you, there's an answer in here somewhere. And it isn't for something that you're just to say, well, my Bible says so. No. Look it. Read it. Let it be embedded within you. Let it permeate. So when that time comes, you're not just going to be reaching out to read a Bible, to read a book. You're going to reach out to say, this is what God says. I don't care what the world says. I would rather learn from God's word than the different circumstances that we may create. And you think about it. I wrote down a little example here, and I said circumstances that we may create. You know, sometimes, as an example, someone might have cancer, okay? Now, was it because you smoked? Is it possible? You know, I'm just using an example. Maybe you smoke too much, so therefore that lung cancer came upon you. Well, that was your choice, right, to smoke. God didn't throw those cigarettes at you. So we do things sometimes that are against our better judgment because we don't think that they're going to harm us. But we still do things to our bodies, and eventually, it's like we're saying, you know, we try to say, God, why aren't you healing me? Well, He can do that. But we place ourselves in places that sometimes we never had to be if we would have just, again, read this book, and He'll tell you what not to do. And He'll tell you how to stand strong against those urges that your body is requesting. Again, our flesh consistently wants us to satisfy it. Have a cigarette, eat 30 tacos, or have a Twinkie to chase them, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that we just choose to do that, you know, we may know that it's not good for us. And so it wasn't God that told us to do it. And so we can blame it on the devil, or we can blame it on our own choices. Let's just don't blame God. So I want to go to Deuteronomy 28 in verse 21, 22. And all of Deuteronomy 28 deals with blessings and curses. And the whole, you know, one part of it is telling you if you do this, you will be blessed. Then you read the latter part of it, later part of it, and it tells you, you do this, you're going to be cursed. And so the only part that I want to look at today is 21 and 22. It says, the Lord will plague you with diseases until He has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever, inflammation, and with scorching heat and drought, with blight, mildew, which will plague you until you perish. Now, hopefully, you don't put it in the category of blessings. That's the curse. And so, sickness, disease, is labeled as a curse. And so, before I go on, I want to go to Galatians 3, 10 through 14. And it says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. And as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." So as we look at this and we see that sickness and disease is a curse, but yet Jesus became that curse for us. And so when he hung on that cross, he not only took upon himself the sin of the world, he took upon disease. He became that curse. And so he did it all. John 19:30 says that as Jesus hung on that cross, he declared, "It is finished." And I don't know what part of finish we don't understand. There's no more to be done. Anything that could possibly come against us in this world, Jesus Christ took care of on that cross, his resurrection. And so sometimes we seem to accept curses. Sometimes we seem to still want to walk in and think that sin belongs to us, and yet all we have to do is give it to him, and it doesn't. And so we're not responsible, as it says here about the curses, which is what I wanted to bring up, is that we're not responsible for the sins of our previous generations. Not only for me, but for my children and my grandchildren. A lot of times we seem to think, you know, that the word says that we are, you know, responsible for the sins of our fathers. That's not true. We are responsible if we accept that Jesus paid it for me. Then whatever my mom went through or my dad went through, that's not on my shoulders. That's for them that they had to deal. But I can say for me and my generations to follow, these afflictions will not be a part of my life. You look at sometimes when you go to a doctor, whatever it might be, a medical, and what's the first thing you might do? You fill out this form, family history, family medical history. Your grandmother has diabetes, your mother had this, your dad had that. It kind of puts you into this category that, you know, even the doctor's saying, well, you have a history of this, so therefore you're liable to have it too. And you guess what? If you say, yeah, you're right, what do I do to treat myself? You might get it. You know, it's your choice to accept what the medical field is telling you or to accept what the Word of God is telling you. And so when you hear these things, and trust me, I think doctors, medicines, I think they're great. You know, I think they're God's tools. God placed them on this earth for our good, and he can use them. Why not? And the Word says that if you're not against him, then you're for him, right? So these doctors, these medicines that have gone out there, They weren't placed out there to kill us. Well, now we wonder with this thing going on, but you know, they're placed so that we would feel better. I mean, if I ate too much pizza and I might take a Tums, you know, it might make me feel better. You know, it's logical. It's logical that we use some of these things sometimes. And yet at the same time, we don't allow for these things to become and agree with those things that have plagued our generations before us. We don't agree with that because this is my walk and I choose not to accept what maybe my parents or grandparents accepted. So let's go to Luke 8, starting with verse 43. Get this here. And again, these are some of the Jesus healing stories. I tell you, you know, there is so much I love reading about how he did things and how he responded to different people in his walk. And I just picked out about three of them that I thought might be pertinent, but my gosh, you could have 10 Sundays and be talking about the healing ministry of Jesus. And as we know that, you know, that was the biggest part of what he did through his ministry. He healed people. And I like where it says, then he healed them all. You know, I love that. Wouldn't it be nice to one day that we could say that about this church? It says, you know, we have a congregation of X amount of people and God healed them all. It is my heart's desire to see healing take place in this church, in this building. It is my heart's desire that it doesn't stop here, that it just flows out into other churches and the streets of this community, that God's children would not have to walk with pain or sickness or disease. We're not to be there. We're not to be there. So starting with Luke, I said 8:43. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." I want to stop right there. This lady had an incurable disease. She had been bleeding, and it says that for 12 years, right? And she had done all she could, naturally. Been to doctors, spent all the money she could. You know, sometimes that sounds a little bit like us. You know, we just keep on paying out and more x-rays and more medications or whatever. So not only had she exerted herself financially, but I'm sure also spiritually. You know, she was probably at a place of hopelessness, if you want to call it. You know, it's like, but the good part is that it says that she heard about Jesus. And it says, so for us to look at that and someone somewhere gave her hope. Somebody told her about this man Jesus and his healing ministry. And this lady that had gone 12 years finally could see him. This is it. And as she progressed to this man Jesus, regardless of the crowds, regardless of all those things that could block her from getting there, she could see herself healed. And I think that's a big part of where we are with healing. Sometimes we see ourselves, you know, because we're crawling or we're limping or whatever it is, we see ourselves that way tomorrow. And this lady saw herself healed. If I could just touch this man, I will be healed. She saw herself healed. And we need to get to that place that we stop looking at ourselves in the condition that we are and start looking at ourselves in the condition that we can be. And all it takes is a touch of Jesus. And so when that person, whoever that might have been, you know, a group of people, but they told her about Jesus. And so her faith became stirred. Her hope became alive. There was something going on that said, I don't have to be this way if I can just touch this man. And being that she heard, her faith got built. What does it say? Our faith comes from hearing. And so isn't it up to us to be out there to tell people about Jesus? Go out there and touch him. That's the answer to your problem. So she saw herself healed. And so how do we see ourselves? Are we accepting what the world says we should be? That as we age, we are destined to have Alzheimer's or arthritis or even die at an average age? We're sitting here today, and how do you see yourself? You know, do you kind of agree that when you get to be 70, you're supposed to be like this? When you get to be 80, you're supposed to be like this? By the time you're 90, you might as well hang it up because you can't do nothing, you know. And so sometimes we look at ourselves in that way. We're agreeing with what the world has said we're supposed to look like. But our God says something different, right? Our God says we're not supposed to be there. You look at some of the characters in the Bible. Moses, he lived to be 120 years old, you know. And there's other ones that were strong and robust in their old age. Why should I say, well, I only got about another 5 years and Pastor Henry's going to have to bring me in here and sit me down in a chair so I can talk? No way. I'm going to see where Abe is and have him teach me how to jump by then. All right, Abe. And really, I mean, that's really the kind of the outlook that we should have. Do not conform to what the world's telling you that you're going to be like. Conform to the Word of God. Amen. And he says that by his stripes you were healed. Reach to that. Health is yours. And if we can reach out and just receive it. And as we look at this, I think you can put it back up, I think, starting with verse 28. It says, When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding, pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. And she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Amen. And so when you look at this, of course, all her view was, if I can just touch the garment. And of course, we know that it wasn't the garment. And we know that there wasn't anything that Jesus spoke to her. The healing was in Jesus. And her faith of just touching was enough for her to get healed. And you know, it was one of these things where sometimes we think we have to do so much. And all he's saying is, just come to me. Just come to me and just be with me. And that healing can come just by spending time with him. Doesn't have to be wonderful prayers, but it has to be this one thing that says, I know that you can heal me, Jesus. I know it. And you take it and you run with it. Okay, one more point I wanted to make is that if that healing is within Jesus, then it's really up to us to tap into it, right? And so it's kind of like what I said about that plastic credit card. If you're not cashing it in, you're not going to get it. So start thinking of how to cash in that healing that's all yours sitting in your wallet. What's in your wallet? Okay, let's go to John 5, and I'm going to read 1 through 15. And it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. And we thought that 12 years for that lady was too much, right? And here's this guy has been there for 38 years. So then it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? And I want to stop there because I think that's such a statement there. Do you want to get well? You would have thought that immediately this guy would have said, yes, absolutely, you know? And yet God needed to hear from him whether he did or he didn't. And so let's go on. It says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said, well, I'll stop right there. Instead of just saying, yes, I want to get healed, he comes up with excuses and reasons why it was acceptable for him to be in this condition. And as bad as the issues surrounding him were, that mat was a place of comfort, a place of security, a way of life. And the thought of change brought fear. This is just what I do. This is just where I am. And so when you think about some of the things that are afflicting us, sometimes we kind of get settled. You know, as long as I take these pills, as long as I see the doctor every so often, as long, whatever your excuse is, sometimes I think that we're being asked, do you want to get well? And as I'm saying these things today, may you not receive it in condemnation, but as encouragement. Because I don't know what is on with a lot of your lives, but just to know that God has an answer. And those are things for you to just come to him and say, Lord, is this where I am? Is this part of what's going on in my life? It may not be. Okay, let's go on. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. So in order to receive his healing, he had to stand. He had to overcome that weakness. Imagine all those years, you imagine his legs were weak, imagine his whole body was not strong, but Jesus told him to stand up, walk. And so it's this, you have to do something. We have to do our part, if you want to say, to achieve that Jesus wants for you. He had to put away his false security. All that, the mat and the, laying there or whatever it was that gave him that comfort, he had to be rid of it and trust that when Jesus told him, stand, walk, that was a true and that this was going to take place and he could do it. And let's go on with the rest of it. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. And so this part here really kind of speaks to me. Jesus was not, when he was doing his ministry, he was not out there to receive glory for himself. He didn't tell the guy, tell everybody who did it, "Jesus, Nazareth." He just did it and walked away. It was all about the kingdom. It was all about doing the Father's will. And what an example for us, right? That when we go do things, when we pray for people, it's not about, "Well, John Valero prayed for me and I'm feeling better." No, it's that Jesus did it and he uses us as that vessel, as those hands, as those feet that go out there. But that we would learn from this. Jesus was out to glorify his Father. It was all about the kingdom. It wasn't about himself. And yet, look at all the wonderful things that he did. And then it says on, "Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you.' And the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well." On this area here, Jesus saw that the man's condition was brought on by sin. And our choice to participate in sin can open a door to the grave damage that can come upon our bodies. You think about it, if you're a heavy drinker or a drug abuser, your liver or your brain can suffer great damage, right? You made a choice. And yet, because of that choice, because you were not in that right place, your body is harmed. And so, a lot of it has to do with the choices that we make. If you want to go to the sin part of it, we know we're doing wrong when we're doing these kind of things. Overdoing the things that we do, even overeating sometimes. So it's just to kind of keep tabs on ourselves. What are we doing to our bodies? What are we allowing to be a part of who we are? So one more scripture here, 1 Peter 5:8. And this is one you're familiar with. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour." So the question rises, are demonic forces influencing? Yeah, they're there. And sometimes it's not sin or the devil. It's just our unwise decisions. We do things against our better judgment. I have an example of a friend of mine that his dad, a hard worker, tough guy, and he was working outside. He wound up getting a splinter in one of his fingers. But because he's a tough guy and didn't want to stop working and all that, he went for days and weeks without ever taking care of it. Eventually, that area caught gangrene, and they wound up chopping off his finger. You know, unwise, right? He could have not gone there, but there was something, a part of his hand that was removed because he just didn't do a simple thing. So sometimes the simple things are the ones that keep us from being whole, from being healthy. So one more scripture here, Mark 11, starting with 20 through 25. And it says, "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.'" And Just this verse right here says, you know, it shows that Peter was amazed by the withered tree. And it was the day before that Jesus had gone there, and because he wanted figs, they weren't there. There's a lot more to the story, but the gist of it is that Jesus cursed the tree the day before. But of course, at that time, apparently, they walked away and the tree still looked like normal. But then the next morning, they come through and now that tree has withered. So the evidence was not on the surface, but it was taking place in the roots. And so sometimes when we pray for something and we speak to something, you may not see immediate evidence, but it's happening. Jesus is doing it, even if it's starting at the roots. Something is happening. So let's go on. It says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So notice the emphasis on speaking to the mountain. If we are to move the mountains in our lives, we are to speak to them directly. We are not to tell Jesus about our problem. We are to tell the problem about Jesus. There is great power in the words we say, whether positive or negative. And so we must be cautious on how they are used. I wanted to bring up something that, you know, we always often talk about. And, you know, he's talking about our faith and we can say to the mountain, whatever that may be, to move it. And we always look at, this says about mustard seed faith. And you always look at, you know, we always say it's a little bitty seed, but as long as our faith is this little bitty, then we have enough faith to move that mountain. So one of my questions was, do we ever see Jesus having little bitty faith? We don't. And so when we look at the faith that we have, I want you to think about it in another way. When we receive Jesus, we have him in here, right? The Holy Spirit. So we have the faith of Jesus within us. Doesn't have to be this little bitty mustard seed faith. If we can realize and see that we have the fullness of Jesus within us, why should I depend on a little bitty seed? I've got this big, great Jesus within me, this Holy Spirit that is within me. And so I have all the faith I need if I just know how to exert it. Amen. So it says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. So just remember that unforgiveness can eat away at you. Unforgiveness can even cause a cancer, stress, worry, all these things that can come against your body. And to just know that we can receive the peace that surpasses all our understanding when we allow Jesus to take that place and take away those things that can bring our bodies down. So, if you're praying and waiting for God to do something, then you're not cooperating with the kingdom. God already provided your healing. 2,000 years ago, if someone isn't healed, it's not because Jesus hasn't given it. It's because the person hasn't taken. Reach out. It's yours. Take it. I know it's late, guys, and we still need to do communion. This is the first Sunday of the month, and we usually administer communion. And so we might run a little late, but it's important. It's important. So I'm going to ask the servers to begin to pass out the elements and hold on to them until everybody serves so we may take things together. Well, I hope that as you listen to my message today, that you have kind of a little bit more heart for what when we do this. Two elements. And I know you've been here long enough to know the meaning of these two elements and to remember that this represents the body of Christ and that body was broken. That body became a curse. That body, from the time that they took him prisoner, that body endured more than any of us could ever imagine. And so when it was with his disciples at this Last Supper, after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "Take, this is my body given for you. Take the bread." And in the same way, he told him, "This is the cup." It was a symbol of his blood. And from the time that they put that crown of thorns on his head, from the time they put that crown of thorns and blood begin to drip, that even that was for the protection of our minds, that we would have the mind of Christ, and he shed his blood. So from his head to his feet, he shed his blood for you and me. Take the cup. I almost made it. I've got one more thing I need to do. I'm going to ask you all to stand. When I started, right before my message, I asked you to ponder something. I asked you that if I told you that you would walk out of this building and that whatever the affliction, whatever the sickness, whatever it was, that you would be healed, I told you to just think about it, just ponder it. Would you believe it? And so, as I said earlier, you have authority over your bodies. You have authority over those things that have come upon you. And I'm going to pray right now, and you pray for yourselves. You pray those things that have been upon you to be gone. They don't belong in your bodies. And I'm going to read one more scripture here. And that's out of Romans 8:26. And it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." Now, those of you that can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Sometimes we get to where we said, "I've said all the prayers, I've done all the right things, and nothing happens." Sometimes we don't know what to pray. But this tells us that he does. And he's praying for us. He's interceding for us. So whether you pray in the Spirit or you pray in English, pray for your bodies right now. And believe that when you walk out of this door, you will be healed. Father God, Holy Spirit, come and lay your hands upon each person here this day, Lord. You know specifics, Lord. You know individuals, Lord, and what they're dealing with. Small or large. You're a big God. Nothing's too big for you, Lord. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done upon each person this day, Lord. We want to see, Lord. We want to see your Spirit just have your way, Lord, with us.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.